Sharpologist.com.
You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is July 22nd, 2019. Alright guys, welcome back to the podcast and happy 50th anniversary for landing on the moon and taking steps on the moon and all that good stuff. Real amazing, you know, all the news covers that they put on over the weekend and just all last week. It was just really cool to watch and to revisit for some of us that were able to watch it live when they were younger, or you know, were able to actually experience a lot of that stuff in person. I wish I did. I wasn't alive then, but I got to watch a lot of it now, which I really probably should have revisited when I was a kid, more so than I did just in history, reading in history books. So whatever your belief is, guys, if conspiracy theories put aside, it is still a pretty cool feat. So today on the show, we have a ton of news going on. That's all. We're not going to have any interviews or anything. We're going to go straight with news. We have new releases from Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements and Barrister & Mann. We have a new razor from Razor Rock, which is going to cause a lot of turmoil in the wet shaving world, but I think it's actually going to be something very positive. A new razor from Razor Emporium coming out. A new shave soap from 11 Shaving, which is called the Apollo, the dedication soap to the Apollo landing. That looks pretty cool. Came out yesterday on Sunday the 20th. That's also something that just I thought was very interesting. We have we're going to talk a little bit about the Weber safety razor. We had an article break on Sharpologist recently on that, and it brought a lot of comments on. Actually, it got me a couple of emails to talk about. So I was really, really surprised on that as well. And discussion of the week: are wet shaving collectibles going down in value? This is something that I've noticed. I think I've seen. Do you think so? And I'd like to hear your thoughts on it as well. So without further ado, guys, let's get on with the show. So Phoenix Artisan Accoutrements came out with Copali, which is a scent that's been long overdue release, right? This stuff has been aging for a while. I was very fortunate to get some right away. The Copali is basically there's a huge story around it, and I'd really like to talk about the story, but due to time, I'm going to just get into the real notes of it. It's like the sandalwood of South America. It is a unique scent. It kind of smells a little bit, if you know what like hallow smells like, take like a hallow scent from B&M or like Summer Storm from Chisel Face, and then put like a little sandalwood into it. This is really a popular essential oil down south. And the story around this is, you got to read it, because it's got something about traveling through South America and on a motorcycle or on a Vespa or something like that. And I was just really impressed with the actual the storyline on it from the Copali from Phoenix. I haven't gotten a chance to try it yet. Just got it, so I will be reviewing it pretty soon. I'll definitely tell you about the performance. This is with the new CK7 formula. So if you haven't tried that yet from them, that is their new flagship formula. I like it. The new formula, it's very creamy, very, very like buttery type lather without being overbearing, and it does the job, it gets the job done very well. Remember, there's no tallow in these soaps, but I think PAA really proves to you that they don't need tallow to make a really very huge creamy lather that's just intense. So check them out if you get a chance. It's still available. Whole lineup they have: aftershave soap. They have some other novelty items as well. I left this link in the show notes for you guys to check out. But yeah, really, it's definitely one of those different type of soaps that which you expect from PAA. A lot of research putting this one, a lot of time putting this one. So Doug and Fran, we salute you for that, because I know how hard this stuff must be. And just, you know, we just get to purchase it and see it in part, you know, just have it in front of us. You guys are the ones developing it and going through all the test batches and everything. So I'm not sure if this is going to be a permanent item, but I think it's only going to be maybe a limited time special, you know, limited or something, but I'm not sure. But get your hands on some of it too. If you're looking for something new, something different, definitely try it. All right, guys, here's another one from Razor Rock. Now, we talked a little bit about we've been talking about Razor Rock a lot, because they've been coming out with a lot of different things. The Lupo is a new limited edition or newest edition razor. It's not limited, actually. There's plenty of them out there. Different colors. Made out of aluminum, right? And its design is based off a popular high-end razor brand, to which is not really a mystery if you read the reviews and read the actually go on the website itself and read the description. It's CNC machined aluminum, and it's only $30. The design that it's based off of is the WR1 Wolfman. And this is something where, here we get into the copycat type thing, whatever. Look, every single safety razor made is a copycat off somebody else, right? It's a copycat off the Gillette's original design. Even Gillette copycat off theirself. So whoever's saying copycat, whoever wants to boycott it, whatever like that, that's fine. You know, that's your thought. But if you want to spend $30 to get something that's going to probably shave pretty well, and it's available, check it out. Now, on the description online, it says basically they're comparing it to a $500 razor that you cannot get. And you're looking at the design, and if you talk to some of the comments, they did actually confirm that it is based off the Wolfman design. Now, a Wolfman design or the razor, now whatever it is, I'm not even going to get into it that much. But supposedly, the people at Razor Rock got the razor from somebody, lent them a razor. They tried it for a couple of weeks, and then they said they improved on it and made it cheaper. You know, to each his own. It is made out of aluminum, so it's going to be light, but there's different colors and stuff like that. I don't know where it's made. It's probably made, you know, overseas or something like that. It doesn't say on the website. So regardless if that even matters to you, the razor is $30. So, I mean, if you're looking for something new, you don't want to spend a lot of money or you don't want to wait on a waiting list, $30 is really not that big of an investment for a wet shaving, you know, nice razor. Check them out. I mean, I am personally, I haven't made the leap yet. I don't know if I'm going to purchase one. I have a lot of razors right now that I still haven't. My rotation is very long, so I don't get to use all my stuff. And I do also like stainless steel myself, but I don't mind aluminum. I like the lighter razors, but as long as they're balanced. So I've been looking at it. I've been clicking on the site every single day, trying to make the plunge or deciding whether I want. But you know, I'll probably end up getting one. I'm going to be honest. For $30, it's worth it. And I'll talk about it more. If you do have one, or if you read the reviews, they're all very positive. So I left the link in the show notes for you guys just to take a look at the actual razor itself. You got to make your own determination what you would like to do. And let me know if you purchase one, you actually use it and say, hey, this is the same thing. Or if you have both the high-end razor and the actual Lupo, and see if they shave comparably. So Rec Supply, if you guys are not familiar with Rec Supply, the Ambassador is their safety razor, is their adjustable razor. It's based off the old Gibbs adjustable design. And you have Matt over at Razor Emporium, started Rec Supply about, 2 years, 3 years ago. And basically what Razor Emporium does, is they are a razor refurbishing company, mainly specializing in like Gillette adjustables. You have a Gillette adjustable, you get it, it's messed up, it's broken, you send it to them and they'll fix it. They'll fix it, they'll make it look new, they'll replate it, they'll clean it, they'll do whatever you need to do. It's a great service if you have a collectible razor, like if you have a Fat Boy that you want fixed up or clean, or if you have a Gillette Toggle. Usually those Gillette Toggles are a little troublesome, and especially they're probably one of the top people to bring your Gillette bottom dial to. I know a very limited audience with the bottom dial, but if you have a bottom dial, you want it fixed up, everything working and all the bells and whistles on it, send it on over to them, they'll take care of it. So after years of rebuilding razors and fixing them, Matt over there and his team at Razor Emporium decided to start Rec Supply. So Rec Supply was made a couple years ago, and they started making adjustable razors. So he took the Gibbs adjustable design and said, okay, I'm going to do my own thing with it, and came out with a very nice razor. It's very popular, right? So one thing lacking, there are people out there that are looking for a three-piece safety razor. It's still very popular today. And, you know, for example, I'm not very big into adjustables myself. So I haven't really I don't really purchase adjustable razors anymore, with the exception of a few. It's just not my thing. So when I saw this, I reached out to Matt. And I asked him, you know, what's going on with it? How's it going? So it's going to be based on like the level 3 on the Rex Ambassador. A similar design. It's going to be stainless steel. And the retail is going to be about $120. Now, it's going to be some time before we see it. I think probably about 2 months before it's going out. He's going to send out a tester to people for a passer on DFS, I think it is, or one of those what shaving forums. So be on the lookout for that too. Left a note on the show notes for their Facebook page for Rec Supply, because actually Razor Emporium, Rec Supply is the same entity. And you can check out, that's where the news came out, was on the Facebook page or Instagram. But check out their Facebook page, and they also have a website as well, you know, RazorEmporium.com. So after a couple of years, or actually we're getting close to 10, about 7 or 8 years now, the Weber Razor has just kind of been a razor for those that have been using it basically for that amount of time. Hasn't been sold new. Weber Razor Company does not make razor heads anymore. They were making razor handles, so you can still purchase parts from them or purchase the items from them. So I purchased one on the secondhand market. So I did overpay for this razor, so I'm not going to lie. And I purchased a couple of handles online from the actual company itself, who has an eBay listing, which is actually right now is not being, there's nothing on it right now. So there's nothing going on. And I was really impressed with the Weber Razor. So I did an article, a dedication article. I did some research. It's on Sharpologist. So if you guys get a chance, definitely check them out, because it's really one of the joys of wet shaving is just being able to use some history. And this is modern day history in basically in your hand when you're using it. The Weber Razor is the first American safety razor produced in bulk in the 21st century. It's true. Gillette was the last one that was producing razors. They were producing them until 1988 of American-made razors, right? They stopped making them. And really, the American razor company, American razor production had kind of gone down to nothing. It was gone. Basically, the cartridge razors took over, or people held on to their vintage razors. It's funny because from 1988, which they probably stopped making them and nobody even noticed, like nobody even knew. But 1988 stopped American razor companies, right? Or razor production. Okay. But then we went to those three blade razors, all that good stuff, right? Track 2, Mach 3, Fusions, all that stuff. But there's still a select few people that were using double-edged safety razors, right? And believe it or not, Gillette was still producing double-edged safety razors, and they still do today in that kind of style. In a twist open style, or like a Gillette neck, or so, or clicker topper with it on, up until they've always been making it for different markets. It's just never been made for the United States market. I mean, it's been made in India. It's been made over in some Asian countries as well. It's still popular. They're still using double edge razors. So over here, you have several people, maybe even several hundred, maybe even several thousand people still using their old safety razors. And, you know, without the internet, without being able to converse, really you just kind of used it on your own. That's it. Now, I remember drugstores and corner stores and all that, they still carry double-edged safety blades for years. Right? They never stopped. CVS never stopped. Walgreens never stopped. They always carried them. So they're still selling blades. So obviously, there's still razors out there. So then you go up to the time. We go through the timeline in the actual article. In the 1990s, you have a group on Facebook that enjoy straight razors. You know, you talked about that, started by Lynn Abrams. And I think there was like 10 members in it at first. And now, there's obviously a podcast about it now. I mean, we're big now, right? What shaving has gotten pretty not mainstream, but big on the secondary market, that was secondary sales sites, and very big in the new market too now. So just showing you like how big of an impact this razor has on the actual wet shaving world. Think about this. When they came out in 2012, I believe, beginning of 2012, the razor was $75 or $50 or something like that. It was really, really low for a stainless steel razor, right? And the reviews were pretty positive and stuff like that. But other people looked at them and said, okay, I'm going to build a razor. And then I'm going to build a razor. So you had, you know, you've always had like Icon and you had Mule and all these other companies making razors, right? But they were, you know, not in the United States. But Weber really brought it to the USA and started, I think, the trend of building razors in the USA. Now we have several makers, and here you have like, you know, Blackland Razors. You had Mongoose. You have, you have a bunch of Canadian brands like Carve Shaving and all those guys, and Wolfman, and just all in, you know, Rec Shaving has come out now with American Razors. All these companies have come out. They all have to thank this guy, the team at Weber, for making a razor, because this was the first one. So all their traits come to that. Now the design of this razor is very unique with the handles and everything, and the bulldog handle is basically, I mean, did they copy off somebody else? I don't know. Yeah, probably. But like I said, everybody is copied off somebody, because the original design was the Gillette double ring back in 1903, right? So long story short, because of time, the Weber razor, I left you the article in there. It's just a really, it also still shaves very well. A couple guys have commented on the article already, saying some even said it's still their favorite shaving razor. So if you haven't checked out a Weber, if you do have a Weber, revisit it, because I know sometimes mine was just, for a while, mine was just sitting there in the actual razor bin, just looking and just basically looking pretty. And I kind of picked it up and I said, you know, I'm going to use this again. It's a medium mild razor, well balanced. It's not CNC machined. It is forged steel, but I still am very impressed with it. And it kind of reminds me of, like, if you've used a Rockwell 6S, it's similar in that attribute. The head's a little bit bigger, a little bulkier, but it is still a great razor. I have the polished head one, one of the last models that came out, and there was several other. It was three models of them. And if you haven't visited your Weber razor, I highly recommend you do so, because it is a really nice shave, and it just really works. And there, and it is a history almost in your hand. So remember, we talked a lot about, we've talked about this in the past, where you had Tradiere was the first American CNC machined razor and had a different design and everything. They kind of were only around for a little bit. The Weber Safety Razor was the first one. So check it out, guys, on the article. You know, I love writing articles, and I just love it when people read and comment, because that's sharing your work. And I really enjoy doing this one, because it really opened the door for American razor companies to have the confidence to build a razor and be able to sell them. So 11 Shaving, guys. 11 Shaving came out with a limited edition Apollo shave soap that's based off Adventus by Crete. So if you're into Adventus, then check this out, dude, because this is really going to be... This is one of my favorite scent profiles. Nice fruity scent. And I just went and, you know, I said, you know what? I was looking at it. I saw the release on Facebook. I said, I haven't bought soap in a while. I'm gonna jump on it. So I purchased one. It's in the mail. Hopefully it'll be here next week. So on the next podcast, I'll talk about it a little bit. But it is just, I love special edition soaps. I'm really into it. I love limited edition. I love commemorative editions. I always get them, because that's really what probably most of my collection is. I don't know. It's just because I like collecting stuff, and I just think it's cool when somebody does limited. Kind of jump the gun sometimes, because you know it's brand, you know, it's not going to be around much longer. You know, I did miss a couple releases that I do regret, because of I was just very busy and I just kind of missed it. And you know, this one I was like, you know, I'm going to take advantage of this, because the scent profile looked good. So I left a link to the show notes, still available, still plenty around. So check it out, guys, at 11shaving.com. So the discussion of the week is, are wet shaving collectibles going down in value? Let me know your thoughts at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com, but I'm going to tell you mine right now. It is going down in value for the main collectible items. And I'm actually doing wet shaving analysis, which I'll be coming out with very soon on the site, because a lot has changed. The last one I did was 2 years ago, and I just read like through my notes throughout the last couple of years. And how much has changed in the wet shaving world, but not so much for the worse, for maybe for the better, maybe for both. But if you ask me, are wet shaving collectibles going down in value? From this year to last year, I think it's the biggest drop I've ever seen, to be completely honest with you. Looking at the actual value, razors and brushes have gone down a lot. Now I'll take an example. Stuff that sold for example, Declaration Brush. Declaration Brush is still a great made brush. It is hand-tied knot. It's made here, and the releases are very, you know, very, very limited. You could sell one of those brushes probably for around $400, or buy one for $400 online. And right now, if you go online, I saw a couple sell for retail, okay, or maybe $50 over retail. It's a big difference. In fact, there was a release the other day that was about 12 minutes long, which is a record, because usually they sell it in about 10 seconds. There was a brush that was available. There was still one left on the site for 12 minutes. So what is that telling you? Is that telling you that, you know, it's not a good quality product? No, of course it's still the same quality, but what it's saying is there are groups of people out there That another example, sorry, is Mongoose. Mongoose used to go for $500 a pop. Now you can get them for practically, you know, back to $80 when they, or $100 for aluminum. And that's another example. Sorry to go off the sidebar on that one. But what you're looking at is there's a group of guys out there that are willing to pay it, and they have everything now. And there's no new generation coming behind them that's willing to spend that kind of money. We allowed, like, vintage items and all that stuff to be determined by a handful of collectors that just wanted it. Basically, I want this. I'm going to go as high as I can on the auction site to get it. I'm going to put a $10,000 max bid on mine so nobody will beat me, and I'm going to go to sleep. And then you have other people saying, whoa, how high is this going to go? Well, let me mess with this guy a little bit. And now the value is going down because those guys are like, hey, we're out. We're done. I got everything. And they're going to resell their products, their stuff, and they spent thousands of dollars on it, and they can't get it back because they're the reason why it was up that high, because they wanted it no matter what, and now they're selling it for 50% of value. This happened a lot with the vintage razors recently, last year. All right, there's a couple of collectors out there selling their stuff and, you know, getting out of the hobby or just moving on. Or just wanting to, you know, hey, I want to retire. I got over, you know, I got $100,000 worth of stuff in my house. I got to get rid of it. And they go to sell it. Nobody's interested. Nobody's like, I'm not going to pay $5,000 for that or $3,000 for that because you did. It's not worth that to me. It's worth this to me. And I remember talking to a few collectors, you know, via private message or email, and they were really worried about what they're going to do. So one thing I have to say to you guys, some advice. Are wet shaving collectibles going down in value? Yes, they are going down in value because the select people that were willing to overpay for things or didn't care about prices are done buying at the moment. Will they buy again? Will the trend come back? Yes, it probably will come back. But right now, we're at kind of like a lower point to where you're going to buy something, you're basically going to pay a little bit above retail. What my advice is to you guys is that if you buy something, be willing to buy it and know that you may lose on it. Sometimes you may lose if you're going to resell it. The flippers in the wet shaving world are having a hard time right now. You know, those raffle sites that we talked about last year that got me kind of riled up, they're not really selling as much anymore. If you're a member of the raffle sites or the raffle pages, they're not as popular anymore. They're not active. And the stuff on there, you can see the brushes, razors that were on there last year that would fill in within 5-10 minutes. They're not filling at all anymore. They're reducing prices. And people are pulling their items. So just the advice is, I'm sorry to go off of track again. The advice is, if you be willing to pay a price for what you want, to keep it because you want it, not because you're going to want to resell it right now. Not a good time to resell your stuff, okay? Unless you get it for like nothing. Like you find a Gillette razor at a garage sale or something like that, and you want to sell it for some money. Unless you have a service and a business, I don't think it's going to be very beneficial at this moment in time. I mean, sure, there's going to be guys that are going to make a few bucks, but the people who do that, who resell for value and stuff, nothing wrong with it. It's a free market. They know who I'm talking about, and they know exactly what I'm saying, right? Because they're like, oh, man, you know, I just bought all this stuff, and I was thinking about moving it, and I can't right now. So, you know, just take it for what it's worth, guys. Are the collectibles going down in value? Yes and no. Yeah, they're going down in value for some of the higher-end stuff. I mean, the other day I saw Wolfman Razor sell for $400. Brand new, they're more than that. So, I mean, it went down. And that's something you never would see. And you're seeing it quite often now. So now's a good time if you're looking for secondary sales to buy something if something you haven't tried yet. But I would hold on to all your stuff if you're looking to, you know, recoup your investment or just be prepared that you might lose a little bit right now. And also summertime's a rough time as well. All right, guys. So that's my thoughts on that. And excuse me. And really, that's our show for the week. I know it's a lot of talking, but there was so much going on. I was so excited. I was like, man, I got to get this going because there's so much news and I don't want to miss it and wait another 2 weeks. So got it all together in one episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. And just remember, our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, a.k.a. Mantic59. Most of all, you guys, the listeners. Without you, there'd be no podcast and no wet shaving hobby at all. Don't forget to check out my blog site, shavestraightsafe.com, and feel free to contact me on anything at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. So guys, if you're interested in getting on a show or if you have any questions, don't hesitate to email me and get involved with anything going on in the wet shaving world. Love to discuss it and love to have some new content on the show as well. Got some really good episodes coming up. We have this the fall seasonal special coming up in about a month, and we also have we have some new a new survey coming out too. So the survey for the end of the year show, I was going to bring this up. I'm working on a new survey. The old survey is gone right now, and the survey will be for a few questions that we're going to feature on the end episode of the show, the last episode of the show, the end of the year recap, and just about just questions about like who thinks the most innovative artisan. Who had the most best release? Who do you think was in the game? You know, out of the game. Who got in the game? Who's the best new artisan and all that? I'm going to have a list of that for you guys to fill out on the survey site, and then we can share the results on the last episode of the year. So that's going to come out on the next show. So guys, again, as always, thank you for listening, and don't forget to shave straight and shave safe. Bye bye now.